Everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the 8 o'clock spot live here on the Grit Network's YouTube channel and Twitter account. I am, as always, am your host slash judge slash moderator, Bryson Carver. Very excited to be with you today. Episode 35. We've got not one, not two, but three fantastic panelists on tap for you guys tonight. First off, making his long-awaited return to the 8 o'clock spot, it is the co-host of the Outside the Cage podcast. It is Eric Van Leden. Eric, it is, we just talked about before the show, it truly hurts my heart every time I have to read the leaderboard for your name to be the last one that comes up. Your luck, obviously, looking to put up a great performance. How are you doing tonight? You're muted, Eric. Eric, you're muted. We can't hear you. Can Eric hear us? Let's see.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot to press that little unmute button. I'm doing great, though. I did myself dirty by coming on once and not coming on since then, so can't complain about being at the bottom of the leaderboard, but I'm definitely going to change that today.
Looking forward to that. We were just talking about your guy, Daniel Jones, and I actually see a Dak comment because we talk amongst ourselves, the Grid Network, about quarterback rankings. That may come up, pop up every once in a while. Mike Guido's kind of the guy who started the conversation. Mike, who is second on the Grid Network leaderboard. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm good. And I will personally take blame for the Dak discussion. Obviously, I brought it up again today, but I also was on EJ's Boys in the Zone podcast yesterday, and we got into about a 30-minute argument about that at the end of the show last night. So it's all stemming from last night as well. So, it's fun to be here. But it's nice to know that I'm not alone because I've got my good buddy Bear Grant Jr. over here who thinks similarly to I in this whole Dak situation.
That's true. That is true. I've had my battles with you and Barry over the years about Dak, and I don't expect they'll be discontinued anytime soon. Finally, it is the points leader on the 8 o'clock spot by, I have to say, a pretty hefty margin. You are potentially a win away, Barry, from 100K points on the first season of the 8 o'clock spot. Barry, how are you doing today?
I am very well, Bryson. I am en route to parts unknown. But I will tell you that before your mic sounds a little echoey.
Oh, does it?
You may have to fix that.
There you go.
Is that something better?
There you go. There you go. See, it's out there. We always have to correct things live. That's how we do things here at the 8 o'clock spot. Secondly, I wanted to be nice for my intro, but I couldn't. Shouts to Thanasis tearing his ACL. But as I said, or Achilles, but it takes a lot of work to run behind your younger brother. Continue.
That's harsh. That's really, really harsh. Nonetheless, that's the villain himself, Barry Grant Jr. Patrick's supporting you tonight, Barry. He says, bring the snap, Barry Grant Jr., EJ Savage. Dak is top 10. I don't want to hear it. We can have that conversation. I'm gonna need to check out that Boys in the Zone podcast. So I'm gonna need to see what y'all said. But let's get to our leaderboard. Let's see where we're at right now. Obviously, as I previously mentioned, Barry and Mike 1 and 2, followed by Alfred Parsar Jr., John Rivera, Dalton Brown, Devin Nettles, Adam Bessie, Tim Barnard, Dylan Lima, Keith Nandon, who won a couple of the last show, EJ Savage, Ryan Flowers, Anthony Bessie, Alex Johnson, Eric Ruiz, and finally our guy Eric Van Leden. Let's get into our first round rules. It's pretty simple, folks. A great take gives you 200 points. A good take gives you 100. An okay take gives you 50. And a bad take, you come empty-handed with 0 points. So one of the shockers thus far of the NBA playoffs is not that the Timberwolves are beating the Nuggets. That's not all that surprising. It's the fact that they're absolutely destroying the Nuggets in every way, shape, and form. Anthony Edwards has been absolutely phenomenal through the first two games. And in game two in particular, The Timberwolves won 106-80. And again, physically on the defensive end, Nikhil Alexander Walker, Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, even in game one, have absolutely smoked the Denver Nuggets. But Anthony Edwards, Eric, has been easily the best player in the series. Is he right now in the midst of becoming the face of the NBA?
Man, I think he's got to be. When you look around, it's perfect timing. This is the first time in a long time that LeBron, Steph, and KD, or none of them, are in the second round. So you can tell that times are starting to change in the NBA a little bit. And Anthony Edwards has been the one to kind of grab that title of the next one. I've heard people say he's the Al Hassan guy from Dune. He's the chosen one. He's the next guy. I wouldn't go that far yet. I give him a 2-year window to win a ring, or I'll say 3. If he doesn't win a ring in 3 years, the the heat's going to cool off a little bit. But as of right now, he's on the way. I think he's the most likely to become the face of the league. You got Luka, not as marketable, kind of an annoying play style to watch. Wemby, pretty quiet so far. I think Wemby could be another one that's going to jump right up there probably next year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I don't know, flops a lot, just hunts fouls the whole time. So right now I'm leaning Anthony Edwards. I don't really think he's the chosen one like a lot of people do, but due to process of elimination, I like Ant-Man right now.
Well, the thing is, too, he's 22 years old. So, like you said, the potential window for him to win a ring is certainly longer than 3 years, but made to become the face of the league, as you said, with the older guys, maturing out of the NBA. That's something to keep your eye on. Eric, going to give you a good take to start off the night, give you 100 points to start. Yeah, I think you're spot on as far as, like you said, process of elimination. Like, Ant is one of the few guys that I think genuinely wants the title of not just best player in the world, certainly, but the face of the NBA. He's got the charisma. His game's easy to watch and root for. So a good take there by Eric. Mike, is Anthony Edwards on his way to becoming the face of the NBA?
I mean, that's a different question, right? Because I think, can he be on the way to becoming the face of the league? Yeah, he can. But do I think that he's like the favorite for being the face of the league right now? No, I don't. I think that's fairly obvious recency bias to the nth degree, right? We just saw Nikola Jokic just got out and announced tonight that he just won his third MVP in the last 4 years, right? He just won a title last year. So, and that's not to say that Jokic is the face of the league either, but because we've seen Anthony Edwards play really well in 6 playoff games, that all of a sudden means that he's become the face of the league. Here's really the thing that bothers me, and I know, Bryson, you and I have had this discussion before also, that as entertaining as Anthony Edwards is to watch, and as good as I think that he is, and he certainly is, right? He's averaging whatever he is, 35-plus on 50% shooting, which is unbelievable for a playoff stretch. But he kind of looks like Michael Jordan. He kind of looks like Kobe Bryant. And what do basketball fans love? They love Michael Jordan. They love Kobe Bryant. They love players that look like that. So in a sense, if you want to make the argument that he's going to become the face of the league because he looks like that kind of player, then yeah, I think he probably could. Should he be because of 6 great playoff games? No, probably not.
That's fair. I mean, a lot of it is recency bias. We tend to do this. I mean, like, it feels like every NBA Finals is Jokic's the best player in the world. Giannis, Steph, LeBron. Like, we tend to, whoever the NBA, we did with Kawhi in 2019, and the same can certainly be applied, given the fact that the older stars, I mean, you look at the guys that are eliminated, 5 of those guys are probably top 10 players of the league. Bron, Steph, Embiid, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis. So, Giannis. I mean, it's a pretty loaded list of guys. So, it's to a degree, it certainly feels like the change of the guard. So, I think you're on the money a lot of things. Guido, I'm going to give you a good take to get you to 100 points here to tie with Eric. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of truth in the comparisons. Basketball fans love the comparisons. We do it. You're kind of the anti-comparison guy during, the draft, except like with Wemby and stuff like that. Like, I certainly see where you're coming from, so I'll give you a good take there. Barry, finally with you, is Anthony Edwards on his way to becoming the face of the NBA?
Yeah, I think that's a possibility for him. I'm kind of siding with Mike that, kind of pump the brakes on it a little bit, but I'll bring up a different point than the other guys, because obviously this is what this show is about, right? The reason why he might be on his way to being the face of the NBA is kind of by necessity. Here's why. The European players, as good as they are, have taken over the top 5-6 spots in the NBA, or top 10. You want to say that not all of them, but the majority of those guys are European guys. Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, all of these guys are international stars. We need to push our own guys. This is why Anthony Edwards is so appealing, because he's an American-born guy. You know what I mean? It's the same thing in boxing. Boxing kind of lost its way because we don't have a really American face heavyweight. It's in baseball. You don't have the face of the league. National guy, popularity is not there. Like, that's why forwards has to be the guy at some point. We're pushing that because it's needed for that particular reason. No shots at the European guys, but kind of need our own guy to be that guy.
Well, there's an advantage to it because it's a North American sport and league. And so, like, I think you're spot on the money where, you know, we haven't seen this type of situation in NBA history where, like you said, the last, I guess, I think the last American MVP was James Harden in 2018. Like, it just goes to show you how the league has changed. Embiid has won, Giannis, Jokic, as Mike mentioned, three times in the last 4 years. You talk about sort of the shifting of the guard to the international circuit where there's not that many superstar American players. Some of that, I think, is because the one-and-done system is, I don't want to say broken, but not doesn't work as well as maybe we once thought. The AAU system isn't great. So I think you make a lot of great points. Bearing for that, I'm going to give you a great take to get you to 200 points and the lead heading in the second round. I think it's the American aspect certainly helps. And again, it'd be one thing if he was American, but just, you know, the game wasn't necessarily there the way it is with Anthony Edwards right now or the personality, but he's in the movie Hustle with Adam Sandler. Like, he's got the easy marketability that a lot of the faces of the league have had. And I think he's certainly en route to doing so. He's not there yet, but he's en route to potentially doing so as well. Moving on to our second round rules, everything gets doubled from the first round. A great take gives you 400 points. A good take gives you 200. An okay take gives you 100. And a bad take, still 0 points. Staying in this series, the Denver Nuggets, the defending champion, are in a pretty rough spot, down 0-2 after losing the first two games at home. And star player Jamal Murray, who was great in the fourth quarter Lakers series, but who's been awful shooting the basketball in this series, took out his frustration, it appeared to be, on the officials, once throwing a towel, then throwing a heat pad later on, I believe in the first half of this basketball game. It was announced yesterday that he would not be suspended for game three, but fined $100K. I will ask you first, Mike Guido, should Jamal Murray have been suspended for game three against the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's one thing if you do it once, it's another thing if you do it twice, right? Like that's, I think, really kind of the line that I draw here, is that it didn't even seem like he was throwing it on the floor. It looked like he was throwing it at the ref. Like that kind of seemed to me like that kind of seems to be the line for me. I don't know that I've seen, I mean, at least in the last couple of years, I don't think that I've seen a player like on the face have shown their frustrations more than what Jamal Murray did yesterday. Shot 3 for 18, a couple of really stupid fouls. The body language on the court was terrible, right? Like, he kept trying to convince everybody like, oh, he's pumped up, when really he's just frustrated because he's getting locked up all night. And then you see it on the bench where he's throwing stuff on the floor, whether it's at the ref or not. I would have said, yeah, sit out a game, whatever, if it were me. But listen, I'm a fairly stingy guy when it comes to stuff like that. So, you know, I could see it going both ways. But yeah, I probably would have suspended him. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's one thing to throw it once, it's another thing to do it a second time. It's amazing to me that it happened without presumably the official even seeing it, which, you know, we forget about the official, like whether it hits him or not, it probably doesn't do damage, but official could slip on it. A player could slip on it in the baseline, Carl Anthony Towns or Jokic or somebody. It could be a complete disaster. So I'm with you. A good take for Mike, getting the 300 points in the lead here. Yeah, it's the fact that he does it once and thinks, hey, it's a good idea for me to do this again. And again, like we've sort of alluded to, Denver's really seems to be kind of losing their cool, losing their composure in the series. And that's going to be something to watch in game three. It's probably a good thing that Denver has 3 days ahead of game three to potentially get themselves ready for, I think, a must-win game. So that'll be fun to watch. Barry, should Jamal Murray have been suspended for game three against the Minnesota Timberwolves?
No, I don't think he should have been suspended, because it's just it's the playoffs, right? Like, if this was regular season, you damn sure know that he's getting suspended. But the refs are really it's crazy how the refs actually look like refs in the playoffs, and then they look completely different in the regular season. Like, they're actually saying, you know, let's just not be so hasty in blowing the whistle on guys or trying to get them kicked out, because we don't want to really change the you know, the aspect of the game or really affect the impact of the game. So
I think we're losing Barry potentially. I think may have gone to a rough connection here. If we can get him back in the next 10 seconds, give him an opportunity to continue. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that there's a lot of truth in what he's saying as far as the game is officiated differently, it might as well be a different sport in the postseason. And so that's something to definitely keep your eye on. And again, Jamal Murray
but he got locked up. That's why he traded, and he knew it. That's why he did the money sign. And he understood that he wasn't going to get suspended because he was like, yeah, just fine me. I know I'm not going to get kicked out. They know this situation in the playoffs. So, you know, no, he should have definitely not been suspended. And everybody knew it. And the refs knew it. And, you know, it is what it is.
That's fair. We lost you in between there, Barry, but we were able to get the last part of your take. I think we get the gist of what you're saying. Like, there's, again, there's a different standard as it pertains to just officiating the games, if, you know, calling right. fouls. Like, I did a stat on my show today where I think the teams averaged like 115 before the All-Star break in the regular season. They've averaged 104 in the playoffs. So, again, you're seeing a dip in scoring because you're seeing an uptick in letting guys play defense, letting guys play physical. And so that's something that certainly bleeds into, at least it feels like, potentially suspending a guy. I have a brief take on that after Eric, but I'm going to give you a good take, Barry, to get you to 400 points and the lead here. Yeah, it's especially because it's a game three, like this is, I think the fact that the Nuggets are down 0-2 and got smoked, especially in the second of those two games, it's like, hey, we want to see the champs on the ropes. We want to see how the champs respond to as tough of a situation as you could ask for going into a game three. So from that perspective, I am glad Jamal Murray is going to play, but I have another different opinion on that. Eric, finally with you, should Jamal Murray have been suspended for game three of the series?
I think he should have. It's a tough call to make. I mean, it's an action that deserves a suspension, in my opinion, but it just sucks to take one of the best players out of a big time game three in a huge playoff series between the defending champs and the team that looks like they're next up. But I mean, if Draymond Green does that same exact thing, he's most likely getting a suspension. And I don't think Jamal Murray should be able to act like a baby and pout out there and not face the same consequences that other guys in the league might, just because he is a star player. And I mean, $100,000, I'm not trying to be a pocket watcher. Obviously, that's an insane amount of money. But for those guys, it's not as much as it is for us. At the end of the day, I'm sure he would choose that over being suspended any day of the week. So I think they should have suspended him.
Yeah, it's fair. And I think that there is, you mentioned the Draymond thing, and that was sort of what I was shocked are the Warriors fans going to bring up Draymond Green's history. That's one thing I was going to allude to is because of the situation with Sabonis last year, when, by the way, the Warriors were down 0-2 in that series to Sacramento, well, you suspend Draymond Green because of his history. Well, to that I say, then Embiid has more flagrant fouls in a third of the playoff games. Why has he never been suspended? Because he obviously has as just as extensive of a history as Draymond. DeJounte Murray, I get he made contact with the ref, but people forget a year ago, DeJounte Murray got in the face of a ref, got suspended for a game. So throwing something twice at a ref, it feels a bit inconsistent, and it could set potentially a bad precedent for if someone else wants to do it. Well, Jamal didn't get suspended. How can you suspend me? So that's something to keep your eye out for as well. Eric, going to give you a good take, get you to 300 points. Good takes across the board, except for Barry's first. We'll see if somebody can break through in this third round, the final round with, of course, all three contestants. Third round rules, everything gets doubled from the second round. A great take gives you 800 points. A good take gives you 400 points. An okay take gives you 200. And a bad take, still 0 points. Going out east with the New York Knicks are, I think, right now playing a game against the Indiana Pacers. Game two. Jalen Brunson has put together one of the more impressive streaks that we've seen in terms of scoring the basketball in the NBA playoffs. You talk about a guy who is one of four players in NBA history just to have 40-point scoring games four times in a row or more. He's also one of 10 players in NBA playoff history to have 200 points over a five-game span. And as you imagine on those lists, there's a lot of Hall of Famers, your Jordans, your LeBrons, your Wilts, guys like that. It's a pretty incredible streak. I'll start with you, Barry Grant Jr. Given what he's done this season, and to a degree last season, and given the incredible play this year in the playoffs, is Jalen Brunson a superstar?
Excuse my son in the back. He's over here playing and stuff. But yes, he is Jalen Brunson is a superstar. I think that, you know, what he's shown and what he's proven, even last year in the playoffs, when he carried this inept basketball team in regards to offensively, he did all he could to try to get them wins against Miami. And it just didn't have enough. This guy has shown you moxie at the highest level. This guy has shown you that he can be able to take over a game. This guy has shown you that he can be able to lead. This can show you how he can be able to do a press conference. This guy is the star. All the metrics, you know, not the sexy pick like everybody else. You talk about like other stars, other players. But when you look at all the boxes that you need to check, I think he checks pretty much every box You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he is a superstar. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think the New York Knicks found more things to come for New York because he's going to start to recruit some other guys going there because people want to play with him. So, yes, I would say he's a superstar.
Well, and again, the New York market obviously doesn't hurt matters to consider a guy of that caliber being able to bring in some. I mean, again, I truly, from the depth of my soul, believe Giannis asked out this, during the summer because of the turmoil in Milwaukee. You pair Giannis with Jalen Brunson, you want to talk about a two-man game that is darn near unstoppable. That could be something to keep your eye out for. No question about that. Good take for Barry getting to 800 points here. You talk about the leadership, the moxie, the clutch play in the fourth quarter. He dropped 21 in the fourth quarter in game one. Jalen Brunson is, if he's not a superstar, he's about as close, as far as I'm concerned, as you can possibly be to being a superstar. To you, Eric, is Jalen Brunson a superstar given his recent play and even to a degree last year for the New York Knicks?
I believe he is a superstar. And even going back 2-3 years ago, I think it was against your Warriors, there was a couple games when Luka was out and he did basically the same thing he's doing right now. He's been doing this for a while. He was a multiple time champ in college. He was a kind of a college superstar, definitely in Villanova. And off the court, he might not be the most marketable or flashy guy ever, like Anthony Edwards, but I don't think it really matters as much when you're in New York, especially. And he embodies the New York culture, just gritty, nose to the grindstone, tough, clutch. So, yes, I think he is 100% a superstar in New York. He's the guy over there right now.
I think you make a great point about how the market itself can be a great, way to market a guy of Jalen Brunson's caliber. And listen, Barry mentioned it. You sort of alluded to it. This is not a Knicks roster that looks like a 51-win team in the two seed or 51-win team, the two seed in the Eastern Conference. This is a team that's got, again, I like Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, OG Anunoby's been a great add for this basketball team. And I think Tibbs has done a really good job. But that roster is not better than Philadelphia. That roster, at least offensively, is not better than Indiana. And yet and still, this guy continues to keep the game close and then go berserk in the fourth quarter while still getting other guys involved. So I think you make a really interesting point, Eric, if I can put this up. Nope, that's it's a 700 points. Here we go. Eric Van Linton, 700 points. A good take there in this segment. It is... no question, a lot of this for Jalen Brunson has been about getting into the right situation. You sort of alluded to what he was doing in Dallas with Luka out. And, many criticize, well, you should have stayed with the Mavs or Mark Cuban should have kept with the Mavs. When the reality is both guys are kind of ball dominant players. So I'm not sure if the fit would have totally worked long term. But obviously he's flourishing in New York. There's no question about it, Eric. So a good take. Mike Guido, should Jalen Brunson be considered a superstar in the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't really know that there's an argument that you can make that he's not. I mean, like, that's kind of where I think we're at now. I was a skeptic last year because, from what we had seen in his previous years with Dallas, solid six-man, probably a starter in the NBA, solid starting point guard. And then when he got to the Knicks, he just erupted and became just something that we didn't see coming, right? Especially for a guy who's, 6'1" and doesn't have crazy amounts of burst or of, crazy athleticism. He just finds ways to put the ball in the basket, right? Averaged 29 a game this year. One of these crazy stats that I think is just absolutely insane is that he's scored or assisted on the second most points in postseason history over his last five games.
Wow.
Only behind Jokic. And the company that he's in when it comes to this stuff is Jokic, Westbrook, LeBron, Luka Doncic, Steve Nash. Like I think if we asked a ton of people, I think everybody would say all of those guys that he's in that, on that list with, they're all superstars too, right? He scored 40 points in each of his last four games, right? Like these guys have brought up, even from a marketability standpoint, I mean, he's a Jersey kid. He went to Villanova. He's now playing in New York. He's probably the biggest star that the Knicks have had since. I mean, I think you could make an argument that he's having a bigger impact on the Knicks than Carmelo Anthony ever did. And this is something that, it still is something that it just kind of hits close to home. I don't know that you can make an argument that Jalen Brunson isn't a superstar at this point. He's just been that good.
let's put it this way. If, and this may be controversial, but if Joel Embiid's a superstar, then you can't make an argument that Brunson is. I mean, we saw them in the, again, different players, different positions, but we saw him in the postseason. And Embiid, while he struggled badly in the fourth quarter, Brunson was awesome. And Brunson was, again, carried a lesser squad, an injured squad. Again, Mitchell Robinson now just got injured. Julius Randle down. So he's talking about the guys, excuse me, that they're missing. He's done an absolutely fantastic job with this group. Mike Guido, that is a great take, my friend. Get you to 1,100 points, which unfortunately means that Eric Van Lennon is going to be eliminated before the final round. good performance tonight, Eric. Your thoughts on what we're doing so far? Your thoughts on your overall performance in your second 8 o'clock spot appearance?
Yeah, could have done better. Definitely can't be mad at the decision. Mike and Barry made some pretty great points. I mean, when I was looking at that leaderboard, kind of gave me Appalachian State versus Alabama vibes a little bit. Just seeing them at the top and me at the bottom. So I knew I was up against it, but I'll be back one of these weeks.
For sure. We'd love to have you back. And by the way, be sure to go check out the Outside the Cage podcast and the MMA show. Eric does a fantastic job. Be sure to check that out live on the Grid Network every week. Tell us real quick. Tell us where we can find your show. Tell the audience where they can find your show.
You can find it on the Grid's YouTube channel. You can find it on our own YouTube channel, Outside the Cage. And our podcast is on all the podcast platforms pretty much as well.
Yes, sir. Eric Van Lenten, Outside the Cage. Big time performance from you, my man. Shout out. And we'll see you again here on the show pretty soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Eric Van Lenten. Now it comes down to the top 2 point leaders. We have done this many times, so it feels right we do it again. It is Mike Guido. It is Barry Grant Jr. in the final round. And this will be a fun final round. We'll go ahead and show you the rules. It's pretty simple. The winner gets 10,000 points. The other person doesn't get anything. It's the ultimate equalizer of this 8 o'clock spot tournament. Mike can make it tight with Barry in the standings. Barry, though, could potentially create a big time gap and get to over 100,000 points. Netflix had some fun on Sunday night. Tom Brady was joined by comedians, was joined by Patriot players, by Belichick, by Robert Kraft. It was a fun night on Netflix. I thought it was absolutely positively hilarious. The roast of Tom for three and a half hours. Tom even got up there to roast everybody at the end. Peyton Manning was there. It was a fantastic show all night long on Netflix in Los Angeles. I'll start with you, Mike Guido. Just your overall, you could say whatever you want here. Just keep it PG because we know this is some of those jokes, let's just say, weren't for the litters of the room. But, you know, generally, your overall take on this this roast of Tom Brady on Sunday night.
Yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. I mean, listen, I will say this. I think that I can appreciate that a lot of these Patriot players can get as dirty as they did as with their joke telling. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal how raunchy some of these jokes were, even with Gronk. I mean, with Gronk was just merciless when it came to stuff like that. But I think it's important like that. Like, I think that this roast really kind of like sent a broader message. I really do. Like it allows it kind of opens the box of like, you know what? Not every athlete can be offended by everything. Like, it just kind of opens the door of like, you know what? Like, people can actually be funny and take a joke and not have to like, cause we're so used to in the mainstream media, right? Where like all of these athletes, professional athletes, are very careful about what they say, about what they do, but the messages they put forward, it's all very virtue signaling kind of stuff. And it's kind of refreshing for me just because I'm seeing, you know what, you can make jokes like this and not be afraid of getting canceled. You know, like that's the big part of this. Plus it was also kind of funny just seeing Bill Belichick like come out of his shell a little bit and take stabs at all of his former players, which was really, really great. So I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was hysterically funny. And I think it's just good for society. I just do. I enjoy stuff like this.
Yeah, and it was live too, so that enhanced the whole, you know, experience. And yeah, I thought Belichick was by Belichick. I mean, I thought the joke he made about you know, we're roasting Tom, kind of like y'all roasted me in the 10-part docuseries.
Yeah, that's perfect.
I thought it was great. He said, what'd he say? You know, we said for 20 years, do your job. Gronk, I see on Fox, like, don't do your job. Like, I
do
thought
somebody else's job.
it was fantastic. No, I thought Bill did a great job. I thought Tom, everybody did. To you, Barry, what was your thoughts, your overall takeaway on this Tom Brady roast on Netflix?
It was refreshing. That's the word that I would use. Refreshing in regards to, you know, I think the last time we saw a roast like this, what, 8 years ago with Peyton Manning or something like that. So, you know, yes, that things like this can still exist. Guys like Jeff Ross can still do his thing and not have to worry about being so politically correct. You know, Nikki Glaser had probably the best night in regards to her takes, man. She was really good. But, you know, the part that really made me laugh or made me smile really like, man, that comedy was back. Like, comedy was on front display, full display, where people can just be themselves and not have to worry about all of these restrictor plates on them, right? Like, that's what comedy is. Now, granted, if people want to talk about the Aaron Hernandez stuff, okay, whatever. But that's what roasts are. If you watch roasts back in the day on Comedy Central, they were very cringeworthy. But that's comedy, right? Like, you can turn something and put a spin on it and make people laugh, right? Or make people say, oh my goodness, that was a little crazy. That's what comedy is. So instead of getting offended, just appreciate the art, appreciate the time and the effort these guys put into, you know, delivering the jokes, the people that wrote these jokes. You know, Kevin Hart did a great job. It was just fantastic to see Tom Brady be a good sport. You know, anytime I see Giselle getting dragged, I always clap for that. You know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it was just a great night. I think that I think we need more of that, right? I hope to see more roasts, whether it be athletes or entertainer. Let's just get the roast back. Let's have that be a part of our culture, like how it used to be, right? Roasts used to be just normal for us, but now we don't have them. So this is why this was kind of like, oh, it was so cringe for a lot of people, because they're not used to it. They're not used to this anymore. Let's make this a normal thing going forward, because it's very good to have a laugh and just not worry about all the bullshit that's in the world, right?
Well, one thing too is, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, Tom was the executive producer, got all this money. It's like, well, I'm sure they offered a lot of money to a lot of other athletes in the past, and they obviously said no to, like you said, it's been basically 8 years since we've had a roast like this. And I thought it was the fact that it's one thing, like you said, is sort of have the comedic feel back into the mainstream to a certain degree with Netflix and this live. And I haven't even seen the ratings for it. I imagine they were impressive, but it's the fact that it was the Patriots of all teams. It's the fact that the ultimate buttoned up, no kind of no fun allowed organization, unless you're Gronk, the fact that they were the ones to be a part of this, that Tom was the focal point of it, I thought was actually kind of good for the Patriots image, because, you know, ever since Tom had left it, Belichick has been drugged through the mud. It, you know, some of the other people involved, Kraft to a certain degree. I thought it was a home run for everybody. I actually thought Drew Bledsoe would be funny, to be honest with you, might've been one of the funniest of all. He got it started off at, you know, with a bang. But nonetheless, both you guys gave fantastic takes. You know, this sounds cliche, but honestly, this is the reason we have our best, you know, topic for the final round. Cause both of you guys, had this been a regular segment, would have gotten great takes. But of course, there could be only one winner for the 8 o'clock spot, the 2 point leaders. And the winner for this week's edition, episode 35 of the 8 o'clock spot, is Mike Guido, getting 1,100 points to win the 8 o'clock, or 11,000. Congratulations, Mike. Your thoughts on this victory for you?
Feels great. Feels great, Bryce. And I feel like it's been a while since I've won. Obviously I've been on an 8 o'clock spot hiatus for the past couple of months, popping in every, you know, here and there, but this feels good. Get me back on the board. I want to reach 100,000 before Barry does. So I want to make that happen. So this is step in the right direction here.
Listen, it could happen. You're not that far behind him now. You closed the gap, you know, a bit. Barry, your thoughts on, you know, on this decision. I imagine losing to Mike has to be completely brutal for you, but, your thoughts.
No, I'm not really that upset. I mean, listen, you know, you win some, you lose some, but you always know that the snap is always going to be in the finals. I go no less than championship rounds, no less. So I'm all right. But I would like to say this. I don't know if Mike had, if he was finished with his victory speech, but I have a PSA I'd like to put out there.
Uh-oh.
Yes, you know, my PSAs are always good. Colin Cowherd finally put his foot in his mouth. Finally. Like, for him to
that take for
look
years,
at a guy like J.J. Redick and say that he doesn't look coach-worthy. Newsflash, Colin Cowherd, the guy wears a suit on ESPN all the time. He wears a suit on First Take all the time. You know who else had his hat backwards? Jason Kidd. That's good. That guy's a pretty good coach, isn't he? Oh, and here's another thing. J.J. Redick is not an old fuck. He's a young guy. That's what young guys do and put their hats back. Kyler never did that. You know why? Because he's an old fuck. So this is why we have to really be careful about what we say in the media.
It is a bit of a fuddy-duddy take, but
I'm done.
Listen, it's a Bryson's right though. Cowherd's been making the backwards hat kind of guy take for as long as he's been on radio. Yeah. I mean, he's been in the radio business for 40 years and he's been making that argument for that long. So I don't know.
I did not appreciate you going after one of the all-time legends, Barry Granger. That was It's a good thing you won. Yeah. It's a good thing Mike won. I'm just gonna put it that
it
way.
Wouldn't
good thing
Mike won. It wouldn't be.
You're breaking out for us. It's fitting. Mike Guido gets the W over Barry Granger. He's closed the gap. It is officially a legitimate sort of a battle, a two-man race to the finish line. The 8 o'clock spot finale is probably gonna be in about a month after the NBA finals. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. But shout out to you guys. Shout out to Eric who joined us from the Outside the Cage podcast. Mike, Bicoastal Baseball, Barry Grant Jr. All Even podcast. Shout out to both y'all. Mike getting the W. We will see you guys next week for episode 36 of the 8 o'clock spot. Stay safe out there, y'all. Have a good one. God bless y'all. Peace out.